Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal, Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show. Hoping everybody out there is having a terrific, terrific Thursday. Well, it is a pleasure to welcome in to Press Row. If you were a kid growing up in Chattanooga, Randy Smith was an absolute television staple. Of course, he's been a staple broadcasting Tennessee, broadcasting basketball games all over. You did what, OVC, SoCon? You've done it all.
Yeah, SEC. I've done a lot of things, but I guess it's, it's in the past. I'm retired. And,
it's been a good past.
It. Yeah, it's been a great past. I loved it.
And, of course, you are still staying quite active because on February 24th, you and Daryl Patterson will be co-emceeing the Greater Chattanooga Sports Hall of Fame, which is a really, really neat banquet. And it'll be 6:30, just right across the street from here at the Convention and Trade Center. And I will say, it's natural to look at the groups from year to year, and it's natural, just like with the Baseball Hall of Fame or any kind of Hall of Fame, to say that some classes are stronger than others. And when you start with Ted Turner and Jim Foster, that's pretty yes. stout.
Yes. Ted Turner, of course, got one of the Lifetime Achievement Awards, I think last year, maybe the year before last. But they decided that he needed to go into the Hall of Fame because we opened up a category several years ago for boat racing. Well, who's been more popular racing boats than Ted Turner? I mean, with the yachts years ago, but
right.
And then Jim Foster also got a big award a couple of years ago, maybe last year, and so he's going into the Hall of Fame. So we put 22 people in. That's the number we shoot for every year. Sometimes it's a little less, sometimes it's a little more because of the way we do it. But this is a great class. It really is. And I have, for instance, officials and administrators. 91-year-old Earl Condra, who was a principal at Whitwell High School for 34 years and a former coach over there, and the state football stadium is named for him over there.
And I think 50% of Whitwell residents have the last name Condra.
Yeah,
or at least
exactly.
did it at one
yeah.
point.
Condra or Lane or Kilgore, one of those three. But but Earl is going in, and I worked for him. I taught school back in, 78, 79. And, by the way, Kevin Billingsley was one of my students
right.
at that particular time. But Earl Condra was the principal, and, of course, I got to know him when we first moved to Whitwell. We lived there for 25 years, but he's just a wonderful man, just a wonderful man. And I'm so happy he's going in. So, but there are a lot of other people on here that we can talk about.
Well, and it's one of before we get going on some of the names, there are guidelines to how many – y'all do a great job with the sports, and like you said, you add some when needed, but there are limits per sport per year, correct?
Yes. We don't put in more than two people in any category, except for this year we put in three people for football. And the way that works is if you have a person who is deceased, they can go in and it won't count against the number of 22. So the one in football this year, of course, is David Douglas.
Right. Played at UT. Played at Ray County. Played at
yes.
UT. Played in the NFL.
Yes.
I think he was on that Cincinnati team that went to a Super Bowl.
So he's going in posthumously. And then, of course, we added some categories last year. And another thing we did this year, we split up men's and women's basketball. This is the first time we're going to have a women's basketball or two women's basketball inductees and two men's basketball. Because when you think about it, women's basketball is a sport on its own. It really is. So all of the women who went in basketball are now in the category of women's basketball. So I think that made a lot of sense.
When I was fortunate enough to be inducted in 2016, the big name was Tom Mullady, the former Macaulay football player that became tight end for the New York Giants. And he's got the great story. I mean, he actually lived the life of Tom Hanks's character in Castaway with FedEx. I mean, that's the role he had. But he tells the great story. I guess he had been with the Giants about 5 or 6 years, and then this this one draft class comes along and the Giants draft somebody at his position, mm-hmm. and he sees him for the first time in practice out there, and he's like, whoa. And the guy's name was Mark Bavaro, who went on to an unbelievable career with the Giants.
Yes.
But I remember us having the conversation, because it is a challenge you've had in these last 2, 3, 4 years, the opportunity to, and I don't know how to phrase it other than to kind of right some wrongs. You mm-hmm. get some people that people were household names here, but then they just go and take off. And you're like, mm-hmm. Sometimes it's hard to track them down and get them here. But Dale Jones and Gerald Wilkins are a couple of guys recently that obviously you can make the argument they should have been in years ago, but it's not always that easy. And you've got to try to work them in, and you've done that.
Yeah. You have to be 45 years old. And we dropped that from 50 down to 45 a few years ago. And, of course, when the great Reggie White passed away at the age of 42, I think, or 41 or something like that, we went ahead and put him in. But here's a funny story about that, because I asked Kelly Howard, Kelly Smith Howard.
Right.
Kelly Howard Smith at Baylor
softball coach. Yes.
Yeah, great player. She's won like umpteen state championships at Baylor. I said, send me a resume, because you gotta be in the Hall of Fame. Well, she sent me a resume, and I put her up for the thing, and then I got to thinking about it. I watched her play in the early 90s. I said, she's not old enough. So I went back and checked her birthday, and she's not old enough. She's got to wait 3 more years before she can. But we've got her resume on file, and she's going in, I guarantee you. I guarantee.
First-time ballot.
Yeah. But, you know, last year we inducted Terrell Owens, and that was a treat.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very, very humble. And it's just, the thing is about the Hall of Fame, you have people who will occasionally come up to you and they'll say, this person needs to be in the Hall of Fame. And then you'll think about it and you inside yourself, no, they don't. But they don't have the numbers. They don't really have the numbers. But all of these people on the list that are going in this year are absolutely fantastic candidates. The media department, for instance, James Beach. You know James.
Absolutely. And, love the guy.
Yeah, great writer from years past. I don't. What's he doing now? Do you know?
Yeah, he's
time.
Working it up.
He's doing time.
You know, I tell you what. I'll share a James story. James and I on Christmas Eve went to Siskin and visited Roy Exum, who had just had his right leg amputated.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was a lunchtime visit. We stayed for about 2 hours, and just the stories you can share.
Mm-hmm.
And but, no, it was fantastic. And James and Randy Winton and I, mm-hmm. back in 1993, in July or August of that year, took a tour of 11 different baseball ballparks in 12 days.
Really?
And the only day we had off, we started at Riverfront in Cincinnati, then went up to Wrigley, and we had an extra day off, stayed in Chicago. It was August, because the Bears and Saints had an exhibition game.
Yeah.
So we filled up 12 nights with either baseball games or one NFL preseason game.
Now,
but it was an absolute blast.
That's something I'd love to do. I've been to the old Yankee Stadium. I haven't been to the new one. I haven't been to SunTrust Park, or what is it now? The
Truist
Park. I've been to Camden Yards. I've been to several, but I've always wanted to take a tour and go 3-4 weeks and just hit as many as I could. Now, my buddy John Wilkerson up in Knoxville,
right?
You know, from
Ball Network.
Yeah, Ball Network. He has been to every major league park. Period. Every single one of them, and some of them more than once. So I always said, I am so envious of you being able to do that. I want to do that.
Well, that would be the time, because you'd get the baseball parks with the charm. I mean, we went in Camden Yards first year, which was great, but it was still Veteran Stadium in Philly, Three mm-hmm. Rivers in Pitt. So you still had those bowls, those multi-purpose bowls. Yeah. That voice you hear is Randy Smith, who is co-emceeing the Greater Chattanooga Sports Hall of Fame with Daryl Patterson. That is that banquet coming up February 24th at 6:30. You're listening to Randy right now here on Press Row on ESPN 105. One the zone.
Is Ted Turner going to be there?
No.
Now, do we need to pass a hat and like get him a plane ticket or something?
No. Ted's not doing well physically.
Okay.
Gotcha.
And his son came a couple of years ago when we gave him one of the Lifetime Achievement Awards. And I think the same son and his grandson came. So I'm thinking it's going to be one of those two or both again. But, you know, Ted Turner, I mean, here's a funny story about Ted Turner. Ted used to own WGOW radio, which is, you know, your competitor, but, you know, anyway. And they started going to automation forever. Now, this is back in the mid, late 70s. They automated everything. They got rid of their announcers. They got voice tracks. A lot of stations are doing that now. But he was in town one time, and the big joke around the Chattanooga radio was that everything was automated, and stations were trying to use that against them for their ratings and all that. But I was doing sports on WDOD radio, and one of the announcers asked me, I said, what about the Braves and doing all this and doing all that? And I said, well, you know, Bob Horner's a great third baseman, but I think Ted Turner's looking to automate third base and see if we can save a little money doing that. Turner heard that. He was in town, and he called somebody and called the station manager and tried to have me fired because of what I said about automating third base. But, you know, he's done so much. He's a great philanthropist. You know, he's done – when you think of Ted Turner, you don't necessarily think of being a great boat racer, yachter, whatever you call it. But, baseball in Atlanta is simply that good because of Ted Turner. And by the way, they ought to name at least the field for Hank Aaron. Call it the Hammer. You know, why not? I've heard people talk about this. Jay, give me an opinion on that. Don't you think they need to do something for Hank Aaron like that?
Oh, absolutely. And the shops and stuff down there are called the Battery, but if you've got to figure out something. I think there's an interesting conversation about the best who've ever done it who are still underrated. Mm-hmm. I mean, guys like – I think Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, in the grand scheme of things, he never gets mentioned in the conversation. When we talk about GOATs, we talk about – LeBron and MJ. Mm-hmm. Jabbar is right there. Jabbar should be in every single one of those conversations.
Exactly.
When we talk about the best ever in baseball, it's, all right, is it Babe Ruth? Well, if Ted Williams hadn't gone to war, if all these other conversations and parallels, and Hank Aaron still has the most RBIs of any guy to ever pick up a wooden stick. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people, he'll always have the most home runs because of the PED controversy.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to talk about where Ted Turner was ahead of his time, Ted Turner changed the face of baseball, but by not – he was not a real good owner, and he was a little bit of a showman to a detriment to the organization. But TBS changed baseball
yes.
At its core.
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways, it changed all of professional sports at their core because owners then gobbled up regional deals, especially in the NBA, and he did that with the Hawks too, because he made people realize that it's not just a professional sport venue and a ticket, it's programming.
Mm-hmm.
So,
exactly.
So he had 162 nights where he didn't have to do Brady Bunch reruns four times from 8 to 10. He could just put Rick Camp giving up 12 runs on there. So, no, I mean, Ted Turner was a visionary. So,
yeah.
A couple, three names you talk about, guys. Do you have swimming as one of your categories?
Yes, we do.
Will Hunt needs to be in.
Well, we got Wendy Oaks Wilhelm going in this year.
And she's deserving, too.
Yes. The thing is, one of the members on our board who was really into swimming and kept us up to date on all these people passed away last year, Skip Brannon. And
that guy right there is who you need to elicit.
Swimming.
And I'm pouring to David.
And of course Billy Calkins passed away too, mm-hmm. and he's real knowledgeable. But his two daughters, Betsy and Caroline, would know more than me. But maybe if we all got our heads together around that,
because
they're still active. I coached up until about 2002. And that's how long it's been. But I was active with swimming for forever.
And he's a buddy of mine, and I know I'm banging the drum. Will Hunt.
He swam collegiately and had a great career.
And is still coaching the Green Giant.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we were just kind of giggling and spitballing on this. And I don't know if it's a place in the hall, but it certainly would be an interesting edition plaque. I don't know if y'all were talking about it when I stepped out in between segments, but with Foster and Beach going in this year, the name Henry Davenport, a lot of people in this town fondly recall of his love affair of sports and how a lot of the hall members of this Hall of Fame loved him back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Dying.
Exactly right.
Dying. Henry.
Rebound. Rebound.
Rebound. Some others that are going in. Greg Dennis, of course, a longtime successful baseball coach at Chattanooga State, has gotten them to number one in the country before. Jeff Clark, who's had an outstanding tennis career, both as a player and a coach. UTC's women, McCauley's coach now. You talk about football. David Hanna, a member of that 1973 Baylor team that won the New York Times National Championship. So you've got some outstanding folks that are getting inducted. Randy, I know we've kind of got to wrap things up, but February 24th at 6:30. Tickets are $40. I've got Laura Pittman as a contact, 423-304-3208. She can also be that's 423-304-3208. She can also be reached via email at lpittman with one T, so lpittman at epbfi.com. Is there anything else that our folks need to know?
Don't need to know anything else. Just if you want to come and enjoy the ceremony or see these people, Jim Foster will be there. Isaiah Mack for the Titans is the Reggie White Male Athlete of the Year.
Good. We've had him on our show before. Great guy.
And Ryan Howard. She probably will not be able to be there because she's playing basketball in Kentucky.
But we've had her on our show, too. She can light it up.
She is the Catherine Neely Female Athlete of the
Year. Those are fantastic choices. Isaiah Mack and Ryan Howard. That's a good athletic year.
Yes, it is.
I think Catherine Neely may be like the Babe Ruth of Hall of Fames. Isn't she like in 47 different Hall of Fames?
Yes.
Deserves
nationally. Yes. I kid her a lot. I said, you know, which Hall of Fame are you going in this year?
Yeah.
Because, you know, but she's a wonderful lady. I just enjoy being around her.
Because not only was she a legendary coach, but when the SEC Women's Tournament came here, she was so active in that and just was such a great ambassador for this city for all these programs that came in. Well, Randy, this was fun, and best of luck to a wonderful banquet. February 24th, 6:30 p.m., just right across the street at the Convention and Trade Center. Again, tickets $40. Laura Pittman can be reached at 423-304-3208. Our number here is 648-1051. Back with more. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.